Hello! Welcome to MO5E. The room is not very big, and there are still two or three more to fit in. Where were you before being recruited to this department?
I was up at Cambridge doing European languages, enjoying rowing, rugby, beer, and playing mahjong.
Here. Let's hope you enjoy deciphering intercepted German wireless messages just as much. But first things first, we must get you a cup of tea.
One of Britain's first actions of the war was a master stroke of communication sabotage. On the night of the 4th of August 1914, five of Germany's six cables in the English Channel were cut. The sixth cable was redirected to be used by the British to intercept German communications. Britain had already recognised the importance of cable. It encircled the world with lines and ran them only across its own red territories and under the ocean. The all-red line was considered complete by 1911. Not only were UK cables protected from interference, many foreign powers were forced to use Britain's extensive network for their own messaging. Britain was in the ideal position to intercept friends and foes alike.
I think it was an excellent exhibition. I really love the period feel to the exhibition. The documentation that's been shown is wonderful. From what I know of the story, it's very accurate, and the introductory film, I think, hit the nail on the head. It tells the critical points during the war, the cable cutting, the Zimmermann telegram, and the visuals that accompany the story are stunning. I'm really amazed with it, and the rest of the exhibition as well. And I like the bathtub. It's a nice touch, because that's a story that's been told in many of the Bletchley books as well.
Very unusual message. It doesn't seem to follow the standard patterns of naval terminology. Codes can be so damn tricky to break without a crypt. A practice code. Sent by the operator, perhaps. A poem?
It's nice for the first time to actually see the story of the First World War code breaking told so that we can discover the history prior to the government codes and cipher school and see the separate roles played by the army intelligence and also the naval intelligence and how they came together to form the government code and cipher school and what happened at Bletchley Park during the Second World War.
By the time the war ended, MI1B employed just under 90 people. Britain had become a world leader in the field of intelligence. In 1919, Alistair Denniston, a Room 40 linguist and codebreaker, headed a carefully selected group of Room 40 and MI1B employees, forming the new Government Code and Cipher School, which continued to ply its trade through the 1920s and 30s, before Denniston brought his team here to Bletchley Park at the advent of the Second World War.